2 Timothy 4:11. We see that Mark. This is Mark, the writer of the second gospel. The gospel being the second book there out of the four gospels. And we see that Mark, as we go through the sermon this morning, we see that Mark had a second chance. How many here this morning, you want that second chance? You want another opportunity? 2 Timothy 4:11, the Word of God says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry." Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to help us. Let us be useful once again, God, for what you desire for our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been let down? You're going to raise your hands. You're going to raise your feet also. Amen. You are a candidate this morning, because every single one of us have been let down. Maybe you trusted someone with something private. Or maybe you put yourselves open. How many know that we open up ourselves? You depended on someone to do something, and you really needed it to get done. But that person let you down. In other words, they failed you. How many know that when somebody lets you down or fails you, we're not happy? Amen? Can we be honest this morning? Pinch yourself and see if you're really here in this place. Because can we be real? How many know that we react in the way that we react because of the fact that they let us down? He let us down, she let us down, or even they let us down. It might have been you that let somebody down, or maybe somebody let you down. Did you give or did you get a second chance? Something happened and you told somebody, "You can count on me." But you didn't follow through with what you said. Maybe you let something slip. That ball is going to bother me the whole time. Maybe you let something slip and it came out of your mouth. And maybe it came out, and once it came out, you said, "I didn't really mean it that way." But yet, how many know that once it comes out, it's already out in the open? Now you have to clean up the mess of everything that has spewed out. How many have ever said, "I didn't really mean it that way"? Well, how did you mean it? Well, I didn't mean it the way it came out. But yet it still came out. How many know that? What response did you have if somebody did it to you? Or what response did the person on the receiving end have, or what response did you get? Did you give that person, or did you get a second chance? Or was it a one and done? See, the Bible, it tells you and I about a man named Mark. See, Mark was the one that wrote the second book of the New Testament. Mark's life was very interesting. It was a life of ups and downs. How many know that our lives are in the same manner? Sometimes we're like riding the roller coasters. We're up on the top, and then all of a sudden it's like, psh, we go down. See, whatever situation that you might be in, or things that are going on in your life right now, Mark's story, amen, it'll allow you to see that God is able to give you and I another opportunity. How many would be here this morning if you were on a one and done situation? In Mark 14:51, you know, it's kind of funny, but it's interesting. You turn there, Mark 14:51. It says, now a certain man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around him, around his naked body, and the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. So he's in a situation where he is there, amen, and God says that there was a young man that ran, amen, almost in the streets running naked. That would be very embarrassing. He was the first original streaker. And he's there. Mark added this, amen. There as a side note, while Jesus was there, amen, while Jesus is getting arrested, he's running. They're trying to grab him, and as they grab him, amen, they pull his clothes, and he runs out in his birthday suit. See, Mark begins his early life there in the presence of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 12, when Peter was about to be executed, the Bible says that the church was praying for him. In verse 11, we find out that the church was gathered there at the house of Mark, his mother. Mark, amen, was there in the mix, if you can say, of the building of the first church, the early church. He traveled with Paul and Barnabas. He was there in the first missionary trip. At the end of chapter 12, we see that Paul and Barnabas carried him as they went back to Antioch. And there was something about this young man that really caught the attention of two greats, amen, if we can say two of the greats of, amen, the gospel, Paul and Barnabas. The life of Mark was a life of a young man that was full of zeal and passion. It caught the eyes of, amen, Paul. They were all three together. Mark went there in that first missionary trip as he was assisting them both. He was able to witness, folks, the power, amen, of God as they traveled throughout the, amen, island. He witnessed a man blind, struck blind for opposing the work of God. He witnessed there at the very highest level of a government official coming in and accepting Jesus Christ. He saw the power of the gospel. He saw that the power of the gospel, can I tell you, the gospel works this morning. It brought salvation. But if you see, in Acts 13, something went wrong. Pastor, what do you mean something went wrong? Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his party set sail for Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them, and John, who is Mark, departing from them to Jerusalem. So what happened as he departed? He went back. He took himself away from what they were doing, and he went back to the church in Jerusalem. Did he feel homesick? How many know that we can sometimes feel homesick? Did he get scared? Did he not realize the hardships that came in serving the Lord? How many know that serving the Lord, it's not always going to be peaches and cream for you and I? It's not going to be an easy life. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Well, I like myself. Why am I going to? Listen, you like yourself. And Jesus says, you have to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow Jesus. That's not easy. Because you like you. You like what you do. Did he get scared? Did he not know that these things were going to come? Yes, he knew. We all know, amen, that all we know is that he left and headed back home. See, in the eyes of Paul, Mark became a disappointment. He calls, amen, in the book of Acts 15:36-41, the word of God says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas was determined to take them, to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they would not take them, that they would not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. See, when Paul, amen, and Barnabas got ready for their second trip, Barnabas went and he picked up Mark. Paul insisted that Mark abandoned them. How many know that human nature says, you fool me once, shame on me. You fool me once, shame on you. We don't want to continue to be disappointed, folks. How many know that if you get disappointed one time, you're going to start thinking about, well, am I going to really believe you? Am I going to truly trust you? Am I going to truly know? Listen, we get disappointed, folks. Paul insisted that Mark abandoned them, and because of his instability, he would not be worthy to come with them again. And that disagreement was so intense that it caused these two great men of God to split over one person. The last that we hear in Acts 15:39, then contentions became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. He's gone. Mark was now in obscurity. He was not mentioned again for a very long time. We hear nothing of Mark for about a 20-year span. But how many know that in man's eye, you disappoint me once, you might not get another chance, but that doesn't happen in God's eyes. That does not happen in God's eye. We see Mark make a comeback. We see that in the book of Colossians, amen, 4 verse 10, it says, amen, I'm going to kill these names. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets to you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. In the book of Acts, we see that it caused the division. Here, sometime later, we see that the word of God says that if he comes to you, talking about Mark, welcome him. See, God gave him, folks, a second opportunity. In Philemon 24, verse 24, it says, Paul calls Mark my fellow laborer. Leave him behind, but now he's my fellow laborer. 1 Peter 5:13, it says, Mark is serving with Peter in Rome. And later in Mark's life, he was able, have a tremendous ministry in Egypt. See, he was chosen by God to write the second gospel. Somewhere, folks, down the line, Mark determined within himself that he was not just going to be a one-hit wonder. God began to press. Can I tell you, God presses upon our lives each and every day. Either we're going to heed the word and the voice of God, or we are going to ignore it. If we heed it, we will not be that one-hit wonder. If we, ignore it, we will come in, God will touch us mightily, miraculously, we'll leave and never be heard from again. How many know that those two things are a possibility? Mark said, that's not what I want for my life. At some point in his life, he had to do a gut check. How many know that that's what you and I are going to have to do upon ourselves? We're going to have to do a gut check. We're going to have to reevaluate our commitment to the Lord. See, in his mind, when God gave him an opportunity again, He decided to do something different. How many know? Listen, my wife, when she was saved at the age of 12. I got a book, a Bible in my, where I have all my military records, where I don't even go in because I'm like, I don't want to lose these things. But there, down in between all those things, I have a Bible that's falling apart. And on the as you open up the page, it says in May of 1987, that's way before a lot of you were even born. It says May of 1987, Maribel Prado, God bless her, she changed her name to Barajas. But Maribel Prado, in May of 1987, it says, gives her life to Jesus. A little bit down the road in 1987, my wife did the old skip-a-doo. She ran. She ran from God for 12 years. She said, I want to do what I want to do. Amen? How many know that a lot of us are in that boat? I want to do what I want to do. And she did that for 12 years, folks. And here it is, 12 years later. God, listen, throughout that time, God had been speaking to her, but she didn't heed the voice of God. Because how many know that when things are going good, we like to phase out or drown out the voice of God, right? But here it is. This guy was not a good guy. I know, I'm an angel. How dare she say that? She said, you were not good to me. She said, I cried out to God while I was in a military training in Fort Irwin, NTC. She said, I cried out to God. And can I tell you, God heard her. She gave her life to Christ, but then she had to deal with me. And she said, my husband is never going to give his life to Christ. He needs to change. He cannot be the way he is. I told you, she has a bad perception of who I was. Amen. Listen, she said, my husband needs to change. And I didn't want to change. I liked who I was, even though I was so miserable of who I was. Isn't that funny? That we like to be in that miserable state because we don't know any other way. 2 weeks after she gave her life to Christ, after she cried out to God, God heard her. Somebody came in, ministered to her. She was persistent that I would get saved. 2 weeks later, after she gave her life to Christ, I surrendered my life to Jesus. And we've been, amen, serving God ever since. See, Paul was determined that his life would not continue down that same lonely road. He didn't want to be known as a person that entered into a Christ who started strong, but gradually, little by little, began to fade away. See, Mark did something. Can I tell you? The only way that you and I will be able to stick and stay in God is if we are sold out for God. If there is any, listen, if there is any inch of doubt in your life, the devil will expose it, and sooner or later, you and I will be gone. Paul said, I'm going to be sold out now. I know, I realize, I see, I became a disappointment. Amen. I will not let that happen again. He was sold out. See, the last words that we hear about Mark was that he was not that no longer was he useless, but now he was useful for the Lord. See, what can you and I learn this morning from Mark is that a Christian's life, a Christian, it's only the beginning. See, Mark seemed like he had a strong start. He was active in building the church. A Christian's life this morning is more than just having a good start. See, can I tell you something this morning? I thank God that God gives us the free gift of salvation. You and I don't have to do nothing for it. It's free. See, our initial salvation, though, is not the end, but it's only the beginning. Our salvation is not completed when we've accepted Christ by faith. It has just given us the opportunity to get into a different road. How many know that the road that you and I are when we are, amen, sinners, is totally different than the road of when you surrender your life to Christ? The road is wide when you are in your own. The road is narrow when you are in Christ. Many never move past their initial state of salvation. And can I tell you, when they miss the greatest blessings that follow the initial salvation. And that's a life long lived for Christ. It is our responsibility this morning to move forward in our life of Christians. See, Mark was on a mission with two of the greatest Christians that you and I, will probably ever know. Paul and Barnabas. But just being surrounded by them did not guarantee that he was going to have a successful relationship with Jesus Christ. See, I love being around my pastor. I love being around Christian men and women. I enjoy their company. I enjoy their fellowship. They've had and they continually have a great influence in my life, but they cannot walk my walk. That's something I have to do. You and I this morning are responsible for seeking the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. See, we don't grow closer to the Lord by a relationship that others have. We grow closer to the Lord by a relationship that we have with Jesus. This morning, we can draw back and become disinterested by the demands of serving the Lord if that's what we so desire. When the things of the world become more a concern than our walk, you and I will lose the desire to serve the Lord. When things get a little bit tough, we try to find the easy way out. How many know that there is no easy way out when you serve the Lord? When we come to the point of our lives, that the Lord demands something from you, many at this point or stage in their lives will begin to pull themselves back because it's too hard, it's too demanding. See, as big and as powerful as God is, he can be pushed out of our lives if we lose our focus from him. See, there are many of people that you and I know that we've seen them make statements and they have become disappointments, not only in our lives, but in many of people's lives. See, over the last 27 years, I know many of people that many of Christians that not only brought shame, but they were a disappointment. You this morning might be that person. You might be that disappointment. Can I tell you this morning? You can be restored. God can restore your life. Think about the journey that Mark, as he traveled back to Jerusalem, when he left Paul and Barnabas, what was he going to tell the church? Well, what are you doing here, Mark? Well, I thought you were with, well. See, how many know that there was really nothing that he was going to be able to say? See, he could have just faded out into the horizon. He could have gone back to the world. He could have made this statement that this Christianity thing is not for me. How many know that? Even yesterday when I was outreaching, there was a man in uniform that was E7. He said, I tried that Christian thing once. You know, so, okay. So they tell me that. You know, I'm going to follow up with a question. Why? He said, life. I said, what about life caused you to leave? He says, well, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, life. See, that's what he could have done. He could have just went back to the world. He could have said, this is not for me. Let me move on. But can I tell you? You and I are blessed because he made a decision to go back to the Lord. How many people are you going to be a blessing for simply by just making that statement? I'm not going to go back to the world. I'm going to continue moving for God. See, God never stopped. Can I tell you, even when we stop pursuing God, God never stops pursuing us. Mark came back to the Lord, and the Lord accepted him. Can I tell you, you are not too far gone that God will not accept you. Maybe that's you this morning. You are in that position. You cannot shake God's constant pull on you. That's what my wife said. God kept pulling on me. I didn't feel that. She said, God kept pulling on me. This morning, you can return. And he will take you back. See, the Lord is not done with you this morning as I get ready to close. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You have a will that God has specifically placed upon your life. Your plan that God has for you is not my plan. It's your plan. God's plan for you is tailor-made for you. He has great opportunities. Great things that are in your road. You can be restored this morning because, amen, restoration is waiting for you. You can repent. You can turn back. You can decide to say, God, I am going to seek you again. And when you turn back, God, amen, will forgive you. See, when people disappoint us, how many know that we try to put that wall, right? When people harm us, especially if, listen, there's levels of severity of harm. And how many know that when they harm us with the extended M, you just put that wall, and that wall is not easily torn down. Are we in the church this morning? Amen. Am I talking to real people? Because when we are hurt, we do something. We put a barrier. Okay, if I accept you once again, I accept you, but now there's going to be a distance. Amen. Now there's going to be something in between us. I'm not going to let you come close. See, God will accept you, and he'll take you back with his arms wide open for you and I to be able to be in the joy of the Lord once again. See, God this morning is a God of second chances, folks. God is not done with you. He still has great plans. For he says, for I know the plans that I have towards you. Plans of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. You have an opportunity this morning. Will you take it? Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. God loves you, folks. He really does care for you. He really does have a plan for you. If you're here in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not asking you if you've heard about him, because being in America, the likelihood is that every single person in this place has heard about Jesus in one way or another. The difference is, have you accepted Jesus into your life? If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus into your life. You're here this morning and God is tugging at you and you want to surrender your life to Christ. It would be our pleasure. We're not going to put you on the mic. We're not going to put you on blast. We're not going to do anything. All we want to do is pray for you, but we need to know who to pray for. That's you this morning. You're here in this place and you have never given your life to Jesus. Would you lift up your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray for you. We just want to pray for you. Anybody here in this place? Anybody? Maybe you're a backslider. My wife, she grew up in the church. But for 12 years, she ran back into the world. That's what happens to many of people, folks. They go back. They slide back. They backslide back into the world. Maybe that's you. My wife said, God began to pull at my heart. Is that what God is doing? Just like John Mark, he could have faded away. But God drew him back onto himself. And he came back to Jesus. Is that you this morning? You're backslidden and you need to come back to Jesus. Would you lift up your hand? Would you lift up your hand? All I want to do is pray for you, folks. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything. All I want to do is pray for you that you would come back to Jesus. 27 years ago, my wife came back. And we've been serving God. Hasn't been the easiest, no, but it's been the greatest time of our lives because we are blessed by God. Even during the hardships, trials, persecutions, all these different things, we can say, all is well. All is well in my soul. Let me speak to you, church. Have you been disappointed? Or maybe you've been the disappointment. We need to do what Jesus does. He opens his hands. We need to be as the Father did. He opens his hands. And as the prodigal sons and daughters come, they accept it. You're not rejected by God. If you're here in this place, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're an heir. You're an ambassador. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. God loves you, and he cares for you. Maybe you have disappointed, or maybe somebody has disappointed you. Paul says, accept Mark, for he is a useful laborer in the Lord. John Mark got another opportunity to do something great for God, and he wrote the second gospel. Can I tell you, you never know, folks, what God has in store for your life. We just need to continue trucking, continue moving, continue seeking what God has for our lives. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Amen. Just play the keyboard. Let God help you this morning. Let God help you this morning. You are never too far gone for Jesus to use you, folks. Never. Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. Listen, I probably cannot understand. But can I tell you somebody that does? God does. God understands all things. And he is merciful. John Mark was powerfully used by God. Can I tell you, there's something that God has in store for you this morning that is powerful. Where God is going to receive the glory because of your life. But see, John Mark made a decision. Can I tell you? You and I this morning are going to have to decide the same thing. Is this Christianity thing worthwhile to live? Can I tell you the answer? Yes. Yes. God is the giver of all things. He was there from the beginning. He's the maker. And there's nothing that has escaped who he is. Pastor, my situation is unique. Yeah, probably is to you. But can I tell you? God already knows. Can you and I still seek the Lord with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and seek him regardless of whatever situations might be going on in our lives? When you and I do that, that's what John Mark did, folks. And now where he left towards Jerusalem in a disappointing, where Paul says, I want nothing to do with him. Barnabas said, I can still, Paul said, and he left. God still had a plan for his life. That's the plan that God has for you. He's got something great for your life. Stick around. It's going to be bumpy sometimes. But how many know that it's not going to be bumpy for the rest of your life? Amen? Listen, it might get bumpy. Just like when you're on a plane and that plane begins to shake. You start saying, God, help me. But then all of a sudden, it just levels out. And you're like, oof. God is good, folks. And he's greatly to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesse, where you at? Why don't you close us in prayer?